Okay. Pastoral again, he asked me to cover for him because he's sick. And after I said yes, I do. I got sick. How many of you is sick? Okay. I think it's something happening. I'm not gonna start the message. I'm gonna give glory to God. James, can I share this picture? This is me 9 months ago. 9 months ago, I started like this, 261, 261. And after 9 months, I delivered I delivered third of my weight. I delivered 87 pounds. And today I'm starting my 10th month. And I'm gonna start maintaining this weight. Why I'm sharing this? Because I was depressed because this is why I bought a lot of weight. I was eating non-stop because of my depression. I was down, very, very bad situation. And God delivered me. It was God. It wasn't my will. It wasn't it's the program that I'm eating or the food I'm eating. It's God delivered me, brought me back, and restored my life. And through His Word, by the way, I started reading the Bible seriously 4 months or 5 months before I started the diet. And God took me back to His arms. I'm giving the glory and putting an Ebenezer again to glorify God that He brought me here, and He's continuing not only in the physical and losing weight in physical, but it was a lot of weight in my head and shoulders that He delivered me from. Amen. So I'm just thanking God. Philip is gone. Okay, today's message, as we read, when Pastor Al called me or sent me a message, I already had the topic that I'm gonna speak about, because 2005, God gave me this phrase, "When you choose, you lose." And I was like, "What? What do you mean?" And He gave me the explanation or the meaning of "when you choose, you lose." Can you say it? When you choose, you lose. Can you say it again? When you choose, you lose. Okay. When you choose, you lose. And this it was 2005, and few days ago, I was driving in my car. I was reminded with this phrase, "When you choose, you lose." And then Pastor Al called me and he said, "Can you speak on Sunday?" I was like, "Okay, I'm gonna speak, and I know what I'm gonna speak about: choosing and losing." And the message that Julie read from the Bible about choosing and losing. And the way we identify or the definition of winning and losing is so different than the Bible. Winning in the world is so different than what Jesus identified the winning. After few weeks, I think the biggest competition in America will happen, right? The Super Bowl, yeah. And everything is competition. The game is competition. Who's gonna win? And even the advertisement before, in between the two halves, yeah. it's a big thing, and who's gonna win the best ads, and it's all about winning. It's all about being the best or being first. I started to let me see what's the definition of winning in the world's eyes. So this is what I found. Those are the best quotes I found. Okay. So winning. A winner is one who gets knocked down 99 times and gets up the 100th time. And they say in boxing, yeah, boxing, a guy loses a game not when he falls down, but when he refuses to get up. I like this. It's motivating, you know, motivating that winning, it's not that you fall down a lot, 99 times. It's winning when you get up, when you decide to get up. I like it. I said, well, yeah, thank you. This is a good, but it's not the definition that I'm looking for. It's refusing to get up. It's refusing to get, this is losing. Losing not when you fall down, losing when you refuse to get up. I like it, but it's not what I'm looking for. Winning. Winning is not about performing better than others. Rather, it's performing to our highest abilities. I like it. To give all what you have. To do the best you can do. You're a winner. Not necessary that you come the first place, but we know that you did the best you can do. The best of your abilities. You're a winner already. That's good. But it's not what I was looking for. Winning. Is it about finishing the first place? Isn't about beating the others. It's about overcoming yourself, overcoming your body, over your limitation and your fear. Winning meaning surpassing yourself and turning your dreams into reality. This is how the world define winning. And if you're not that, you're a loser. You're a loser. But in Matthew 16:24, defines winning and losing in a different way, totally different way. First, when you choose, you lose. When we have two or more choices, when we choose one of those choices, definitely, surely, we will lose. How? I'll tell you how. Okay. Shall I go to church or stay home? This is two choices, right? If I go to church, I'll be in the presence of the Lord. I will be meeting the believers. I will have fellowship and free food. So it's a lot of benefits if I go to church, right? But if I stay home, I will watch the game live. I will rest. I'm working hard. I will rest. I'm sick. I need to take medication. And So two choices, and each one of them have benefits, right? When you choose one of them, you will lose the others, right? So when you choose, whatever you choose, you will? Say it. Whatever you choose, you will lose. Jesus gave people two choices. Either you save yourself or you give yourself away. Either you win yourself or you lose yourself. If you try to lose yourself, if you try to win yourself, to save yourself, you will lose. But if you lose yourself for me and my calling over your life, you will win. So my prayer this morning, and as I'm praying when I was coming back, Lord, turn us into a bunch of losers. Say amen. You know? I was like, wow, what a wonderful church if we are a loser church. And we have a loser. No, I'm not going to talk about him. He's not here. Normally, I make fun when he's here, but his daughter is here. Tell him that. I want to be a loser. I want to be a loser. And the world will look at me. Look at you. What a loser. Yes, I want that. I want that. But you know what? Sadly, the world sees us as winners. Winners. I was just talking to one of the workers that I work with. And he was telling me about a pastor in Africa. He had his own private jet and his castles and no. And he was saying, I can't follow a guy like this. Why? Because he takes the tithing and offering from the poor people to buy himself a jet. And he lives in castle, and he comes Sunday and preach the gospel and say, give your 2 pennies to the offering. And he goes home hungry. This is the guy is saying, this is the guy that was talking to me saying, I cannot follow someone like this. But you know, he's looking for a loser. He's looking for a loser to follow. Someone that loses everything. Someone that willing to lose everything for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And this is my prayer for you, for all of us today. That whatever it takes to follow Jesus and to follow his cross, to take his cross, this passage, Jesus is telling his disciples about that he's going to cross to the cross to die, and after 3 days he will rise up again. And Peter said, oh, no, what are you talking about, Jesus? I'm not going to allow you to do that. I like Peter. Who are you to allow Jesus or not to allow Jesus? I'm not going to let you go to do that. I was like, oh, Peter. I'm not going to let you do that. And Jesus says, go away, Satan. What can you remember? Get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. You got it wrong, Peter. You're trying to save me. I'm trying to save the world. Because I'm planning to lose my life now to win the world. You don't understand. You have this switched wrong. You think that if you save me, you will follow me and we will have a kingdom here and you will... No. It's different. Get behind me, Satan. Then Jesus said, I will read it again. I love this. Then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up the cross, their cross, and follow me. Again, can you picture this? Can you picture a church? Each member, every member in the church carrying Jesus' cross and following him. Can you imagine this? I can see it. I can see the picture of each one of you, each one of us, carrying a cross and following Jesus, willing to give his life for the calling that Jesus have in our lives. I can see this picture, but I don't know how, what's the result, what's the outcome. Maybe a changed world? The world will be changed? Yes, maybe. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange of their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. And I was thinking about this, I was praying about this. I thought about Jesus. I thought about Jesus, and as if he's like putting two categories, the things of earth, the things that he can have, the two choices, the things that he can have on earth, and another category. The things he can have, Jesus can be a king, right? If he stays, can he be a king? Do you think people will like to have Jesus as a king of Israel? Yeah. Oh yeah, why not? King of Israel. He could be a king. He could be miracle worker, he can perform miracles, right? He can do a lot of awesome things that will make him popular, right? Oh, Jesus is here. Let's go to see him. He's in the Angel Stadium. Let's go and meet him. Let's go and just watch him, yeah? And it's a big event, and he can make big events, yeah? Do you think Jesus can make big events if he stays? Oh, yeah. Big events. Yeah, without sound system, without music, without anything, 5,000 people gathered, and he didn't promise them food. He gave them food later, right? Thousands of people without sound system, without invitation. They just heard that he's coming to the village. They just gathered from villages around. He's very popular. If he stays, he will be very popular. He will be rich. He will have his own private donkey still. No jets at that time. He will be honored. He will gain a lot of honor because, you know, he's the he's the first one. Yeah? He will not go to the cross. He will not experience the pain. Why going to the cross? All this pain and spitting and hitting and why? He will avoid all the pain, right? If Jesus stayed to the earthly things, he could be someone different, right? But instead, Jesus made the choice. And when he made the choice, he loses all this. And he chose the obedience. He chose to obey the Father. He chose to submit his will to the Father. He chose to say, not me, but you. Not my will, but your will. And if you want me to drink this cup of suffering and pain, I will drink it. If you want me to go to the cross, I will go to the cross. And he went to the cross. If you want me to die, I will die. If you want me to save the world, I will save the world. He made a choice. And because he made the choice, he loses a lot. Right? Right? Jesus made the choice. Someone else made the choice. Stephen. Stephen. In Acts 7, from 54, I'm not going to read it. In Acts 7, 54 and 60, when Stephen was arrested, they said they started to accuse him with a lot of stuff. Yeah? He said the temple will be demolished and it will be destroyed and so on, so on, so on. So the high priest started to question him. And instead of defending himself, instead of trying to get out of this situation, he started to preach them. What are you doing? What are you doing? It's not time. You're going to provoke them more. They are already angry. Don't provoke them no more. No. I'm going to proclaim the truth. Hallelujah. I'm going to proclaim the truth. Even it will cause me my life. I'm making a choice of losing my life. Really? Yes, I'm losing my... I'm going to choose to lose my life. And he started to preach them, you are. You crucified him. You killed him. And he was not fearful. The last song. I'm no longer slave. Hallelujah. People that loses their life, willing to lose their life, they are not fearful of anything, right? I'm going to lose my life. What else I can be afraid of? You know, I'm going to lose my life. It's okay. For Jesus, it's okay. And he started to preach for them. Why he chose to die? Why Stephen? Why did you choose to die? Why did he choose to forgive them? Amazing. When they were stoning him, the last thing he says, Father, forgive them. Really? Why didn't he fight back? Fighting back. I like this. Fighting back. Why didn't he fight back? You know, at least... it's my self-defense. You're not sinning. You're just doing self-defense. Fight back, Stephen. Fight back. No. I'm not going to fight back. I'm going to surrender. I was thinking about this when I was... when we are in arguing, for example, my wife, or my son, or your husband. You're gonna try to win, right? You're gonna try to win. You're gonna try to bring reasons why you are right, and you are wrong. By loud voice, bringing back the history. You remember when you did 20 years ago? You're trying to win the argument. Here, he didn't try to win the argument. He's just preaching. Can you imagine? You know, the husband and wife thing. If we are having a hot conversation, yeah, and I'm trying to win and she's trying to win, and you know what, the Holy Spirit speaks to me and says, you know what, you need to stop and go to your room. Really? Really? I go to my room. I'm the man. She go to, you know, no. Go to the room. You will look like a loser. Right? You will lose. And you go to the room. You will be a loser, right? What do you think? Who won here? She won. This is the world, you know? The world will think, she won. He was afraid and went to his room. And poor guy, poor husband. And No. It's different. When you choose, you lose. Lose the fight. Lose the arguing. Lose it. But win her. And win him. Amen? When the wife sees that her husband is very angry about something, and you know, he's out of control, and she chooses to be silent. Broken wife. She is losing in the world's sight. But she chose. This is very important. When I choose, I lose, means that I have the ability to fight back. But I choose not to. It's not like I am forced to do it. No. I chose. I can fight back. I have the muscles. I have the... But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to choose to submit or to lose this battle. This is the beauty of it, is that you have the ability to do it, but you don't want. Do you think Jesus had the ability and the power to get out of that cross and destroy them all? Yes, he had the power. Did he choose to do that or chose not? He chose not. He chose to stay in that cross. When you choose, you lose, but you win. The end result is to win. Stephen can win the battle. He can start. He can argue. He can get references. And you know, no. I'm not gonna fight back. I'm not gonna fight back. I'm gonna surrender. Why he didn't fight back? He didn't fight back. Or run away. Save your life. And he runs away. He didn't. Why didn't he use his power that he fed a lot of people, right? He has a lot of connections. He could, hey guys, gather the brethren and come and save me. Didn't I feed you guys and feed your widows? Not. Come and save me. No, he didn't use the power of people or anything. He just surrendered. He's just surrendered. He did what Jesus did. He put the things of earth on one side and the obedience of the Father in one side. And he chose obedience. He chose to follow the will of God. The things of earth could be very appealing to win. But there is this other side, is that to win the Father's heart, to win God's ways. I was working with an organization called Youth with a Mission. The founder of this organization called, his name is Lauren Cunningham. He's American. And when he started, he did Bible school and finished the Bible school. And he wanted to be a missionary with a certain church denomination. And they refused. And God called him to start Youth with a Mission. And at the same time, his auntie offered him, she doesn't have any kids, she offered him all her wealth. She's very, very big businesswoman. She told him, come work for me, and then I will give you all my companies, my properties, everything, my money, everything for you. And he said no. And he said, I have another calling. I'm not called to be in the business. I'm called to be as a missionary. And he started this youth with a mission thing. And when he started with his wife. Right now, youth with a mission around the world, 25 or 30,000 full-time around the world. People been trained in this organization as missionaries, to be missionaries. Over a million people were trained. One of them, I was one of them. Millions and millions accepted Jesus Christ because of this ministry. He made a choice to refuse the things of the world and choose to be missionary. And this mission, they don't pay salaries, even him. He doesn't get salaries. He has to live in personal support. People need to support him. He's been in mission for 60 years, and he didn't have his own house. He didn't own a house. Finally, I think 3 years ago, someone said, you need to have your own house. And they bought him a house. He didn't have the money for sure. They bought him a house. Okay? But the properties that Yusuf the Mission owns, millions and millions and millions of dollars, because we have places that we run our training. He doesn't own anything of it. Until now, if he wants to travel to the world, to a trip, he needs to raise his own ticket so he can travel. But you know what? He traveled. I don't know if there is anyone else did it. He traveled to every single country in the world. Every single country in the world. And some of them for sure several times. And he lives by faith. Until now, he lives by faith. He chose not to be rich. He chose to lose his life. He's one of my heroes, to be honest. He's one of my heroes. Because I could see, I know him personally. He's a very simple guy, very, very, very humble, very broken, but powerful at the same time. But he chose, he made a choice. Not for the wealth of the world, but for the calling of God. Hallelujah. He chose. He lost, but he won. Amen? I love a song that I hear a lot those days. This song said, Behold the Father. It's called Behold for Hillsong's. Behold the Father's heart, the mystery he lavished on us. As deep cries out to deep, oh, how desperately he wants us. He wants to use us. The things of earth stand next to him as a candle to the sun, like a candle to the sun. People made their mind to lose their life. Anything in the world will stand next to God like a candle to the sun. Compare a candle to the sun. People will make decision accordingly. This is a thing of the world. It's a candle. It's just a candle. It will be quenched soon. But the sun will stay. The glory of God. This is what Stephen did. My life is a candle. My life. It's just a candle. But he saw not the sun that we... He saw Jesus Christ sitting on the right hand of the Father, in His glory. And because of that, He endured the pain. He endured the stoning. He endured the insulting. He endured the unjust injustice that He was treated with. He endured everything because He saw something different than what we see, like a candle to the sun. Unfailing Father, what compares to His great love? Last thing I will finish with, the tradition of crowning the Queen of England, when they anoint a new queen or a new king in England, after a lot of things in the ceremony, they bring the king or the queen in the middle, and four big officials, the parliament or whatever, and the army guy, and they put them in the four corners of the earth, north and the south and the east and the west. And the Archbishop of Canterbury, he goes to each one of them. He says, I present to you the undoubting and honest queen or king. Do you take him as king or queen and serve him as king and as queen? And they answer, I do. And he goes to the other one in the north or the south, whatever. The next one, do you take this queen as queen and serve her? They answer, I do. It's representing that this queen will rule the world, north, south, east, and west. And then they put the crown over her head and they proclaim her queen or proclaim him king. And everyone in the church, they shout, Hail, live the king or the queen. They shout, Hey, live the king or the queen. When I was thinking about this, people that wants to follow Jesus, every part of our life, north, south, west, and east, everything in us will proclaim this. Hail, long live Jesus Christ as my King, as my King. He will take my life. He will rule my life. He will take everything, because everything I have is just like a candle to the sun. That the glory of Jesus Christ is a mystery. It's a mystery. To lose, to win by losing, it's a mystery that Jesus put in us. To see things differently. To see things different. That I'm going to win by losing my life. Amen? Amen? This song they wrote it like in the 70s. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angel prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem, I don't know, and crown him Lord of all. Crown Jesus Lord of all. This is the thing that, you know, I'm going to pray now. We're going to pray now. We will always have this crown of our lives in our hand to make a choice. Listen to this. Forget everything that I said and remember this. We will always have a crown of our lives. And either we put it over the head of the things of the earth, or put it over the head of Jesus and say, we crown you as Lord of all. Either we make the things of earth Lord and to our lives, gods in our lives, or put Jesus as King of our lives and make Him Lord of all. It's a choice. And when you choose, you will lose. But when you lose, you will win. Amen? Let's stand together to pray. Lord, help us with the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, to see things in its real size compared with your magnificence, with your glory, with your majesty, Lord. Lord, help us to see, to put things in the right order, to put you all time first in our lives, to crown you as King of all, to proclaim you Lord of Lords and King of Kings, Lord. Lord, help us as a church to be a church of losers that loses our lives for your kingdom, Lord. To make the choice according to your kingdom values, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Papa. In the name of Jesus.